Good morning, church. It is great to see you today. Let me say what a lot of people have already said, and that is Happy Mother's Day. What a blessing it is to have so many mamas doing things the right way. So many young mamas, so many mature mamas that are maybe even grandmothers. We have mothers who are here who have their children and those who their children are elsewhere. But I am thankful that we are all here together. I want to say that I appreciate Christian mothers, those who love their children enough to bring them to church. I know there was a child behind me during the Lord's Supper singing, read your Bible and pray every day and you'll grow. That's beautiful to me. It put my mind in a good spot because that mama brought their baby. And that child is growing up in the Lord. And I'm thankful for that mama. I'm thankful for that child. I'm thankful for those who have nurtured your children and are raising them the right way. You couldn't have picked a better place to come today than here at Azalea City. And I'm going to talk more about mamas, as you could imagine, in just a moment. But Justin mentioned to you earlier, and Justin and Tucker have gone. They're teaching Azalea City kids this morning. But Justin mentioned to you earlier about a podcast that George and Justin and myself will be doing. If you don't know what a podcast is, it's basically something you get off the internet that's free that is something you can listen to. I listen to quite a few podcasts myself, and those are from a religious standpoint. I draw a lot of great applications from those podcasts, and I'm even more encouraged by them. Well, this is one. Our mission is we want to leave you edified. We want to leave you uplifted and encouraged after every time you listen. It's just three guys who, you know, collectively, we're the best speakers. We're not the most knowledgeable people, but we want to be able to tackle issues and talk about topics and even have you submit them. So we'll tell you more about that. George has made a video vignette that you can look at on social media if you have access to that. If you want to know more about it, you can see any one of the three of us. And so we're looking forward to that. Starting this week, we're waiting on some things to come in, like a microphone. But it should be in this week, and so we're going to get started with that. Hopefully it will be on Thursdays, and we can get those up, and you can listen to those. But also want to make mention that Tucker, I mentioned his name earlier, and it's been talked about. Tucker Presley has started today officially. He'll be working with our young people primarily, but with all of us this summer. Tucker actually wants to be a preacher, and I'm thankful for him. I've seen Tucker grow, and he is the nephew of George and Samantha. Matt Presley is his father, and Tucker comes from great stock, and he's a great man. I've watched him grow up out at Gulf Coast Bible Camp. I've watched him become a great leader over at Mobile Christian School. He's a great song leader. He's a great, just all-around guy, and I love him dearly. His friends call him T-Bone, so you might hear me refer to him as that. But anyhow, Tucker's a great guy, so welcome him. Also want to say I appreciate those who have worked so hard in picking out colors and different things for our auditorium. If you want to, I wouldn't go in there, because you still probably get your church clothes dirty. But you could peek in and see that our ceiling has been scraped and repainted. And the upper part of our walls. Now, if you go in there and you say, are they going to be gray and green? No, they're not. Okay? They were green, but there's going to be a darker gray go under the lighter gray. And they look really good. And there have been some who have put a lot of hours into that and a lot of stress into it. And I appreciate and love them dearly for it. You might not see that, but I see them up here meeting with painters and different things like that, and I appreciate it. But you might want to look at the progress. Let me say, today is Mother's Day. Isn't it special that we have Mother's Day and Father's Day on the Father's Day, the Lord's Day? I'm thankful that we have that. I do want to say that my mother is here today, and I'm not going to embarrass her. I appreciate her very much, and I appreciate my mother-in-law, my wife. I've had great grandmothers, and I've been surrounded by a lot of great ladies in my life, and all of them had a part in helping me be who I am today, and I've got a long way to go, so keep praying for me, mamas out there and daddies, but I want to say that when I was a child, my mama sang to me, "You are my sunshine." And that's certainly a song that has stuck with me, and I appreciate that. But today I want to say to you mamas in here, you are sunshines. You are lights. You are illuminating this world. You are illuminating this place. As I began to talk about this sermon, again, we're in a series called Confidence. We talked about confidence in the one who's captaining the storm last week. This week, we're going to talk about confidence in our mothers. When we have godly mothers who are doing things right, I suggest to you on this earth, there's probably not many we have more confidence in. When our mothers have confidence in the one, the ship, and the one in charge of the storm, there's probably not anybody else we have more confidence in. I know my children. It was this way in my home coming up too. I love my dad. My children love me. But dads are disciplinarians. Dads are the ones that we fear and respect. Not that I didn't my mom, but when I would get in trouble, my first question would be, "Mom, you go tell dad?" Because that was our confidant, right? My children do the same thing. They, "Please don't tell daddy," you know. But the reality is, that's confidence we have in that confidant, that mother, especially that godly mother. As I was getting ready and prepared for this sermon, I told you I listen to podcasts, I listen to books on audio, I'm in the truck a lot. But sometimes if I'm not listening to any of that, if I'm going to pick a genre of country, you know me, it's going to be some old classic country music. Now, that doesn't say that that's the best that I should listen to. I try to not listen to those that aren't good for me, but the Judds, you remember the Judds, they sang, probably wrote and sang a song called, entitled "Love Can Build a Bridge." And I was listening to that song, and I've heard that song 1,000 times maybe. But when I heard the first verse of that song, I said, and I'm sure it's written about a husband and wife and their love for each other, but when I listened to the first verse of that song, I said, I've got to share that, because this is what a mom and child should be. I'd gladly, think about it, mamas, this is you to your children. I'd gladly walk across the desert with no shoes upon my feet to share with you the last bite of bread I had to eat. I would swim out to save you in your sea of broken dreams. When all your hopes are sinking, let me show you what love means. Love can build a bridge between your heart and mine. Love can build a bridge. Don't you think it's time? Don't you think it's time? There's not a mama in here that wouldn't walk across that desert, that wouldn't give that last bite of bread, that wouldn't swim out to save their children. But I suggest to you, the greatest thing a mama can do today is point their children to Jesus Christ. Point their children to the church. Have their children here. Even when father may not. Yeah, that command is to the fathers, but when the father doesn't, that command has to go to the mother. It's Wednesday night, I gave you a preview, like I always do, of the sermon. And I went to Proverbs 31, and I want to go back there. That's not where our main text is coming from today. But Proverbs 31, go there if you will. You have the account of King Lemuel. King Lemuel had a mother who he loved, a mother who he looked out for, a mother who he was proud of, a mother who he called blessed or blessed, a virtuous mother, a morally excellent mother is who this mother was. And I spent time talking about that. But oftentimes when we look at this text, and I'm guilty of it just like everybody else, we sometimes talk about just the last part of it. In fact, we might pick up in verse 10, as I did Wednesday night, "Who can find a virtuous wife? For her worth is far above rubies." Now, this is a great passage of Scripture, and that is a great place to start it. Okay? We're talking about the worth of a virtuous wife or virtuous mother or a virtuous woman. In fact, though, this famous section of Proverbs, by the way, it talks about godly mothers. It actually starts with King Lemuel receiving an oracle. Now, let me tell you what an oracle is. It literally means a burden. Oracle, the word literally means here a burden, but this oracle is given by King Lemuel's mother. She had this on her heart. It was so compelling, she had to give it to her son. And that's very important for us to see in this. And he is reacting, he's writing and reacting to the advice that she had given him when he was younger. And when you look at this text that way, it makes a huge difference, and it makes a great point about what we're trying to honor and talk about today. So what King Lemuel is doing is repeating the things that his mother had not such a strong desire, even burden on her heart, to be able to express to her child. She wanted to talk about the important things in life. In the first few verses of this chapter, I want you to look at it. The king says his mother told him to. Number one, first of all, be careful who he, what I would say, dates or marries. Don't hang out with questionable women. Verse 3. Mamas, what a great thing to tell our children, right? Be careful who you marry. I wrote a series of lessons when I was a youth minister entitled, Date Your Future Mate. Now, those are probably all outdated now, but those series of lessons, the reason I wrote them is because you don't just wake up one day, young people, and say, whoa, how did you get here? Right? We don't do that, do we? We don't just wake up and say that. We date them. You know, the old word is court, which is really a great word because that's what it is. It's going out trying to prove yourself and earn their love and those type things. We need to be careful who we date, who we marry. We do not need to, guys, hang out with questionable women. And girls, we do not need to hang out with questionable guys. That's a godly mother giving advice to her son. But what else? She said not to drink alcoholic beverages because it will cloud his judgment. Verses 4 and 5. What great advice from a mother to a son. Don't partake in alcoholic beverage. Those type things that will cloud your mind. Now listen, people can make arguments all day long about drink a little bit and this and that. And listen, I can honestly tell you there's not a thou shalt not drink alcohol in the Bible. But I will say this. There is a stay away from every appearance of evil in the Bible. And so we can make that argument. But the reality is don't cloud your judgment with that kind of stuff, with that kind of garbage. He goes on to say, because he was king, to be sure to stand up for those who couldn't stand up for themselves. As king, he stood between evil and good for the sake of his people. Verses 8 and 9. You know what that says? A confident, godly mother who points their children to Jesus Christ would say, hey, you stand up for those who can't stand for themselves. Levy talked about go to our brethren. We're talking about Wednesday night nurturing. Okay? We need to look out for those who can't look out for themselves. Stand up for those who can't stand for themselves. But we need to call sin, sin. We need to love. We need to care. Be there. Now, this mama may have told her child a few other things, like we tell our children. She may have said, stand up straight. Hold your shoulders back. She may have said, brush your teeth, eat your vegetables, clean your room. If she did, those didn't make the cut, right? So in the end of the day, even though those are very important, the most important things are who we marry, staying away from sin, looking out for others, and those kinds of things. King Lemuel goes on to describe his mother in a wonderful way. Children, if your mamas are telling you those things, right now as a teenager, sometimes we forget who we are for a little while. Teenage years are hard. I spent 14 years as a youth and family minister, and I've seen teenagers. I know my children, who I love very much. They will morph into something I don't recognize for a few years, in a few years. But I'm still going to love them. But right now, if you're a teenager and you think your mama is not very intelligent, let me tell you, she is very intelligent. If you think your mama doesn't know anything about what you're doing, chances are she was warned about it or may even live through some of it. Okay? Take advice from King Lemuel. He didn't think his mama was the worst person on earth. He praised her. He said she was virtuous. And that's what we all want to be today. We want to be virtuous people. Now, that is, we could probably end right there. And, you know, I could preach on a little bit more and all. But that's not exactly what I wanted to talk to you about today. The main text I want to look at is John 2. So go ahead and turn in your Bibles to John chapter 2. Many of you will recognize John 2. This is the first miracle that Jesus ever did. This is the first miracle that we have recorded that Jesus ever did. This is the first time when Jesus does this miracle that He knows that His plan, God's plan, is really going to turn up the heat. His plan's already in motion because Jesus is alive on earth. But when Jesus does this miracle, people are going to start to talk. And His ministry is beginning. And in this short amount of time, about 3 years or so, Jesus is going to jam-pack into it as many good things as He can do. And at the end of the day, He's going to be killed for it. Now, you got to keep that in mind in John 2. But at the beginning of John 2, they're at a wedding. It's in Cana of Galilee. And Mary, Jesus' mother, is in charge of what we would call the reception. Okay? Now let's look at it together. Beginning in verse 1. On the third day, there was a wedding in Cana of Galilee. And the mother of Jesus was there. Now both Jesus and His disciples were invited to the wedding. And when they ran out of wine, the mother of Jesus said to Him, "They have no wine." Jesus said to her, "Woman, what does your concern have to do with Me? My hour is not yet come." His mother said to the servants, "Whatever He says to you, do it." Now, in these short verses, let's get a little details. I told you Mary, according to tradition and according to the trouble and concern she seems to have and the anxiety she is going to display in all of this, she seems to be in charge of this wedding feast. The time when they get together. And, you know, everybody's happy. We just said, do you, yes, you're married, they kiss, we come back here to the fellowship hall. Right now, this is where the wedding would happen in our building, but we'd come back here to the fellowship hall and we're, you know, everybody's excited and we're like, oh, whoops, we don't have any food, we don't have any cake, we don't have any Sprite and, I don't know, whatever you mix, white grape juice together. We don't have all that, okay? We ran out of it. Sorry. Now, we would probably forgive them, but they didn't back then because, see, this was a big deal. Weddings were a lot more of a big deal back then than they are today even because they didn't have a lot of entertainment. And so this is where they went. And so Mary's going to be the laughing stock of Galilee. People are going to make fun of her. They're going to ridicule her. Her name will be dragged through the mud. But think about where Jesus is. When He does this, people are going to start knowing who He is. And Him being God in the flesh, He's going to realize that in 3 short years, He's going to go to Calvary. He's going to Golgotha. And He's going to die the cruelest death known to man. And it all begins right here. Now, I do not know exactly what took place between "we ran out of wine, Jesus, I need your help," and whatever he says, do it. But I can say this. She probably just gives him a look. You know how mama can give you a look? You know, today if my mama gave me a look, I would know in her eyes if she was hurting or not. As she walked in today, I saw a big smile. I know my mom's happy to be here. She was happy to see me. But I know my mom well enough that I can look at her and say, okay, not something's not right. Just like she can look, you can look at your child and say that. Well, there's that look that probably happens. Mary didn't have to say anything. Jesus saw it. He's also God. He has an advantage over us. He knew it. Okay, he could tell what she's thinking. But their eyes meet, imagine if you will. And she knows, I can depend on my son. And so what does she do? She turns to the servants and she says, guess what? Whatever he says to you, do it. Now, folks, there have been a lot of great statements. By the way, this is the last recorded words of Mary in the Bible. There's not that many of them. But wouldn't it be neat if the last known words that were ever recorded about you is, hey, whatever Jesus Christ tells you to do, you do it. Mary says, whatever he says to you, do it. Now, there have been kings and there have been dignitaries and there have been politicians and there have been movie stars and everybody else, they've got, I mean, you could go and Google quotes and read it for days, okay, about great things that have been said, but I guarantee you there's been nothing said of more importance than what Mary said that day. Whatever Jesus Christ tells you to do, you do it. You see, those are the words when a mama is telling their children and others, whatever God tells you to do, you do it. Then we can have confidence in that mother. We can have confidence that she's going to lead us to do the right thing. By doing what Jesus says, our lives will be better. By doing what Jesus says, our marriages will be stronger. By doing what Jesus says, our Christian walk will be worthy of the calling. By doing what Jesus says, our churches will grow and will be more loving. Doing what Jesus says is what matters. Remember what Jesus said. They asked Him, Jesus, what are the greatest commands? He gave them two. He said, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your soul, with all your strength. And the second is likened to it. Love your neighbor as yourself. On these two hang all the law and prophets. Jesus also said, if you love me, do as I command. You see, if we love Jesus Christ, and we say, if I ask everybody in here, do you love Jesus? Everybody would be like, yes, I do. But chances are, not every one of us is doing what He says to do. You see, Mary said, whatever Jesus tells you to do, do it. You want to have a better marriage? You want to have a better relationship with your employer? You want to have a better outlook on life? You want to be better church member, you want to be better in all these aspects of life, then let's do what Jesus Christ says to do. Love God with everything we got and love others as ourselves. But it's interesting here that Mary no longer addresses Jesus. Unfazed by His reaction. Now remember His reaction, and young people, do not think that Jesus was being disrespectful to His mama. If you go home to say, woman, if you go home today and say, woman, I'm just doing what Jesus says. No, that's not what Jesus was doing. Okay? That's just the way it translates into our Bible. He was probably saying, mother, it's not my time yet. But Mary was unfazed by that. She was unfazed by that. Now, she probably didn't understand fully. what was going to happen. But I love this moment in Scripture. Jesus did know what was going to happen. He did know that He was going to be scourged. He was going to be rejected. He was going to be betrayed. He was going to be scourged. He was going to be hammered to a tree. He was going to eat and die. He knew it. But even knowing that, He couldn't resist His mother. He couldn't let her down. He couldn't fail His mother. And so Jesus does it. Mary knew something about Jesus that others did not yet know. Now again, she'd been with Jesus for 30 years. She'd probably seen Him do some things that were pretty extraordinary. But she also knew that Jesus was the Son of God. Now here are the verses that follow. Now there were set there 6 water pots of stone, according to the manner of purification of the Jews, containing 20 or 30 gallons apiece. Jesus said to them, "Fill the water pots with water." And they filled them up to the brim. And He said to them, "Draw some out now, and take it to the master of the feast." And they took it. When the master of the feast had tasted the water that was made wine, and did not know where it came from, but the servants who had drawn the water knew, the master of the feast called the bridegroom. And he said to them, "Every man at the beginning set out the good wine. And when the guests have well drunk, then the inferior. You have kept the good wine until now." Whatever Jesus touches turns good. That's why we need Jesus to touch our lives. You see, we might need Jesus to touch our lives. Remember that thought, as we'll come back to it in just a moment. Jesus told them 3 things. Fill the jars, draw the water from the jars, take the water to the master of the ceremonies. They did all 3 of those exactly the way Jesus told them to do it. But remember, why did they do it? Why did they fill the jars? Why did they draw the water? Why did they take the water? Well, because Jesus said. But remember, before Jesus said, Mary said. She turned to those servants and she said, "Whatever He tells you to do, you do it." And so when He said, "Take the jars, draw some out, take it to the master," they remember what Mary said. Do what Jesus says. They didn't question Jesus because Mary said. I want to close with 3 basic thoughts today. When we have a mother who we're confident in, why was Jesus confident in Mary? Well, because she was His mother. When Jesus was 12 years old, yes, He got lost and separated from His parents and He was in the temple, but why did they go to Jerusalem? Why did they do those things? Because He had a mama who loved God. He had a mama who made sure they went and they did their worship duties. They did what they were supposed to. He was raised up in a nurturing home, a godly home. When his father, his earthly father, isn't around, I don't know what happened to Joseph. Did Joseph leave? I don't know. Did Joseph die? Is what I would intend to think. Maybe so. But it doesn't appear Joseph is around anymore. So what did Mary do? She stepped up. And she pointed him to God. And Jesus had confidence in His mother. So He was willing to put off His selfish needs so that He could look out for His mother. So what are some things we can take with us today? First of all, how can we honor our mothers who we have confidence in? We love them. We love them unconditionally. Yes, we love the Lord your God with everything we've got. But Bo came and read to us from Ephesians 6. Justin read it from the Deuteronomy account that it was originally from. But Ephesians 6, there it says, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and your mother. This is the first commandment with promise." And verse 3 goes on to say that you may live a long life, okay? But what are we doing today? We're honoring our father, but we're honoring our earthly mothers. That's a commandment. We love them. We take care of them. Let me say, I appreciate, you know, I got two brothers and they do a great job. One of them lives right next to my parents and Todd does a great job looking out for them. But if my parents need grass cutting or if my parents need helping or if my parents need lifting or if my parents need whatever, I'm going to make sure that we get it done. Listen, I appreciate church members. I appreciate y'all. But my mom and daddy do not have to look in the directory and call you because we're going to do it. Because we have that kind of confidence in them. We have that kind of confidence in what they've done for us. But the second thing we need to do is listen. You know, sometimes when we're children, we have a struggle listening. But sometimes when we become adults and we're on our own, we have trouble listening. But it's in those adult times that mamas really need us to listen to them. There are times when mamas are in trouble. There are times when mamas are hurting. There are times when they're sad. They just need us to do what they've done for us for all these years, and that's listen to them. Jesus, knowing what He was supposed to do in 3 years, He listened to His mother. He listened to her concerns. He listened to her hearts. We love, we listen, and then third and final, we need to look out for them. Jesus looked out for her here. He saved the day, didn't He? But that's not the last time He looked out for His mother. In John 19. Let me tell you where Jesus is in John 19. He's on the cross. In John 19, Jesus has been spat upon. He's been scourged. He's been nailed. He's been lifted up. And He's suffering and He's dying. But in John 19, beginning in verse 25, "Now there stood by the cross of Jesus His mother and His mother's sister, Mary the wife of Clopas and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus therefore saw His mother and the disciple whom He loved standing by, He said to His mother, 'Woman, behold your son.'" But He's not talking about Himself. He's talking about John. "Then He said to the disciple, 'Behold your mother.' And from that hour, that disciple took her to his own home." That really puts a lump in my throat. There are a lot of children today, unfortunately, that if they help their mother out, they never let them forget it. You remember that day I turned the water to wine? I'm going through all this right now because of you. You hear that? You hear that disrespect? He didn't look down from the cross and say, "Woman, because of John chapter 2 in Cana of Galilee, I'm right here sooner than I wanted to be." He looked down and He said, "Mama, I'm dying. But I'm going to make sure John takes care of you." Mothers, you are the sunshine of this world. Godly mothers are special. And we need to put our confidence in them. today as we close out? Are we doing everything we can to make sure we take care of our mothers? Are we doing everything we can to make sure we take care of our children? I'm not talking about nest eggs and retirements and life insurance policies, folks. That's minute in the grand scheme of eternity. I'm talking about, are we making sure our souls are in the right spot? Jesus can touch every one of us today. He can touch the mamas. He can touch the children, the daddies, whoever it may be. When He touched that water, He made it the best wine. Today when He touches our soul, that may be black, ugly, and filthy, it'll be white as snow. Whether you're a mama, whether you're a child, whether you're a daddy, or whomever we may be, has Jesus touched you? Let's put our confidence in Him. Let's surrender our lives. Let's do it right now together. We stand and sing.